So on the top of Samach Vavamed Aleph, the Gemara begins by broaching a very important topic, which is as follows. Sometimes we say that an Isser is Batel Beno Seintam. That when you have Isser that gets mixed into Heter, if you can't taste the Isser, then you're allowed to consume the product. Typically speaking, that only makes sense when it comes to what we call Min B'Shein Omino. Two things, for the moment, let's say with a different flavor. And if they have a different flavor, conceivably, if there were enough of the Isser, you'd be able to taste it. If there's not, then it's Mutter. The shear that we use, because we don't rely upon a Nachri to taste, is we use Shishim. Now, that shear is also relevant when it comes to Min B'Amino, two things that have the same flavor, where obviously no being can possibly test. And under those circumstances, thank you. Let's start it, but this will be the better recording. Under those circumstances, we use Shishim because of no alternative. We have no alternative. Now, there is a category of Isurim. So there is a category of Isurim that we say are Oser B'mashahu, that there is no Bittul for. And we've encountered this before. We're going to see that, in particular, Tevel and Yayin Nesech fall on this category. But when we say that these things are Oser B'mashahu, that there is no Bittul, it only applies to Min B'mina. It does not apply to Min B'she'en Omina. And therefore, if you have Yayin Nesech that falls into kosher wine, so no matter how much falls in, it's Aser. But if it falls into orange juice, so then we would simply say, can you taste the wine or not? So the baseline of all Isurim, Bittul for sure, is that you cannot have less than 1/60th, or say more than 1/60th of Isser. Otherwise, we call that no same tam. Whether it actually does give flavor because it's two different substances, or whether it's the same substance, so we call it b'no same tam. We say that it's b'at b'no same tam, even though you really can't talk about tasting. And as I mentioned, I think last time or the time before, min ha-Torah, the shear of bittul when you have min b'mino, is rof. Majority of heter, mutter. Majority of Isser, it's awesome. Now, the question that the Gemara here is going to discuss seems to be a very odd question. The Gemara wants to know, how do you define min b'mina versus min b'she'en omina? Now, you would say to me, that's a ridiculous question. Of course you know how to define min b'mina. Min b'mina means if the two things taste the same. Min b'she'en means they don't taste the same. That's what one would have thought. It, for the most part, does hold true, except for a very bizarre Ramah in the first Siman in Hilchos Tarovas, in Siman Sadiches in Yeridea. And there's a very, very long Shach Siv Katan Hei, where he shreds the Ramah. The Ramah is a very, very difficult to understand. But the Ramah seems to understand that there is a debate located in this Gemara about how to define Min B'mino, Min B'she'en Omino. Now, on the surface, and I'm not going to defend the Ramah. I had one student who spent half the year always revisiting, like the last time I taught you were there, wanting to explain, you know, why the Ramah really makes sense. So it's not for me to minimize the position of the Ramah, but the Ramah is a very difficult position. It would seem to be very clear that when you were talking about whether or not something requires shishim min ha-Torah versus only mid-Rabbanan, you follow the taste. Very simple. You follow the taste. Because bottom line is, I don't care what criteria you want to have and what you want to use to define min b'mino versus min b'she'en omino, but the bottom line is that if you can taste it, then it should be aser. And it doesn't matter that you've decided to call it min b'mino. The bottom line is things that you can taste require bittul atam, which we're going to call shishim, as a shorthand. Now, I would ask you, what other possible criteria could you even envision to determine something min b'mino, min b'she'en omino? So the Gemara here is going to present the Machlokas Abaye and Rava. And the Machlokas Abaye and Rava, before we read the opening part, because the opening part's kind of, until you know where it's going, it's hard to follow, is whether to determine min b'mino you follow ta'am, which is Abaye's position, the flavor, or you follow shame, what we call it. Now, the position of Rava, which presumably we would paskin like, is that for the purposes of determining what is called mimbamino, as linon basar shema, you foul the shame. Seems like a very, very strange position. Now, here's what you have to understand about this debate. Everybody agrees that if we were dealing with the simple question of basic bittul and whether you can taste something and whether or not minat Torah you require shishim or you just require a rov, everybody agrees that min bimino is defined basar taima. You follow the tam. The debate is the following. Once you already have 60 times and the actual physical tam of something is batel, but now we have another level. As I mentioned before, there are certain isurim that are not batel b'shishim. I mentioned Tevel and Yayin Nesach, which have no bittul whatsoever. There are other Yisurim that have unique kinds of bittul that we've encountered once upon a time in this year. Truma, to be batel, requires 100. Orla, the fruits of the tree in the first 3 years that are prohibited b'hana, and Kiloi HaKerem, the forbidden mixtures, you know, planting mixtures, dafka involving a grape seed, those require Masayim in order to be mevatel, 200. But the requirement of 100 for Truma, or 200 for Arla and Kilei Kerem, and that there's no bittul whatsoever, even Be'elef, by Yayin Nesach and Tevel, and maybe Chametz as well, I'm going to leave Chametz out for the moment, that only applies by Min B'mina. In other words, if I have wheat which is Truma, and I have wheat which is Chulin, and I get two get mixed together, I require 100 wheat Chulin in order to be Mevatel, the one Sa'ah of a Truma. But if I have one saw of wheat that gets mixed into 60 saw of barley, that's enough. I only require shishim, I only require bittul atam. So the entire discussion of Abaye and Rava only takes place in a world where you have already reached the shear of bittul of the physical tam, the physical flavor. You have shishim already. So normally we say, for most isurim, shishim, period. For the moment, I'm going to tell you the way we paskin, although it's a machlokas we're going to discuss later in the perek. We assume that almost all isurim, with a handful of exceptions, some of which I've listed already, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino, shishim is the rule. B'nisinas tam is the rule. And once I have shishim, I don't care whether it's called min b'mino, I don't care whether it's called min b'she'eno mino, it's mutter.
Regardless of taste,
because the taste will be, taste or no taste, is gone within 60. So the machlokas here is once I've reached that threshold, so we're not even talking about tam, but how do I, for the chumrah, for the stringency of the things that require 100 or 200 or don't have any bittul at all, but it's only min b'mino, how do I define min b'mino? That's the question. So here already, that's why, because otherwise, Rava's position would make absolutely no sense. Right? If I had two things that had, I'll take a question one second. If I had two things that had a different taste, but people called them with the same label, you're going to say that minat Torah, I can rely upon a rove. I mean, we require 60 midrabanan, but there are cases where, for example, if we're not sure if there was shishim, one of the things the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say some isser falls into heter, and you know that there was a majority of heter, but you don't know if there was shishim. So the Gemara says, so the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're talking about bittul of min b'mino, then a suffek, you can go lakula, because you know for sure minat Torah, it's batel, because you have a majority. And you know it's not a concern of tasting it, because they're the same flavor. So if you might have had 60, but you definitely had a majority of heter, then we say sveka de rabbanan lakula. But if you're talking about a situation of two things with a different flavor, and you know that there was a rov, but you're not sure whether there was 60 of heter, so that the Shulchan Aruch rules is a sveka de raisa, because if you don't have 60 of heter, you're going to be able to taste the iser, and therefore there would be no bittul. So with regards to that, again, there's no question. Nobody would say, except for this Ramah, nobody would say that you follow Shema, that you follow the Shemeser. Of course you follow the Tam. Once you've gotten to 60, now there's no flavor. Now we can talk about how for these extra stringencies of 100, 200, an infinite amount, whether or not we define something as Min B'mino or Min B'she'eno Mino. Yes, question.
What's the reason that these things have this
In very, very brief, we'll count to some, and later, Truma, the Gemara, I think, says, somewhere they say that Kehetero Kachi Suro, just as the shear of Truma's Meiser is 1 in 100, it's let me first state the following, it's Midrabanan. The requirement of 100, 200, or no bittul at all, it's all Midrabanan. The 100 by Truma comes from the fact that Truma's Meiser, that the Levi separates, is 1/100th of the total crop, so they say that that's what makes it permitted, so that's what makes it Aser. It's purely rabbinic logic. But it comes to Arla and Kalaya Kerem, which are prohibited not only for a non-Kohen to eat, but for everybody to even get Hanah from. The Gemara, they say that Mitosha Huchpal Isuro, the Isser was doubled, because not only can't you eat it, but you can't get any benefit from it, so they doubled the shear. And when it comes to Tevel and Yai Nesech, so Tevel, they say, Kehatero Kachi Isuro, that it only takes one kernel of wheat to be matir the pile, so therefore one wheat kernel of wheat asers the pile. Again, there's more to be said about that. And Yai Nesech, of course, anyone know what the answer to Yai Nesech is? Why is Yai Nesech Oser V'mashehu? Chumra V'avodazara. There you go. That's the easy answer for anything there. It's the Chumra V'avodazara. Okay, so but it's all min derabanan. In other words, anything that's min b'mino, min haTorah, is batel b'ro. By regular cases?
Bro, you say Mashahu versus...
Why do they distinguish there? Why do they distinguish there? So the simple concept, you mean, you want to know, assuming you can't taste anything, but why would you distinguish between a case and say that's a yayin in yayin is not batel, but yayin in mayim is batel? Right? That's your question. Even though when you can't taste it, you can taste it out of it. So the pashtus is that the way that bittel works is by essentially obliterating the substance, meaning that make it no longer exist. So when you have two things of different flavors and one gets mixed in, I know I'm simplifying, I'm choosing a bayi here, but it's easy to explain this way. When I have two things of different flavors that get mixed into one another, so the rye, let's say I have a little bit of chaser schmaltz that gets mixed into my ground beef. So the fact that I can't taste the chaser schmaltz indicates that it doesn't exist anymore. Whereas if I have, let's say, one ounce of kosher beef, of treif beef that gets mixed into 60 ounces of kosher beef, so is it true that you can't taste the treif beef? The answer is, of course you can. You just don't know when you're tasting it, but you are tasting it. Right? So that's why I think they're more machmir. There's some evidence. That's why, I mean, there are positions, by the way. I will entertain you with lambdas for a moment here. There's one isser I didn't mention that also we draw a distinction between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino. And I promise, by the way, we're going to revisit this ran. It's a very famous ran in Yeridea. So I'm going to say it slowly now, but even if we don't get all of it now, we're going to come back to it at some point. We're going to touch upon it again. There's one other substance that is not batel, but that we distinguish between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino. And that's called the davar she'yesh lo matirin. It means that if you have a pile of heter, and then you have something that falls into, some isser that falls into that heter, but that isser, in effect, is time-bound. If you wait a certain amount of time, let's say, it's going to come mutter. For example, let's say right before Pesach, you have some tua, you have some grain which is chadash, and it gets mixed into a pile of grain, that's yashan. So as soon as the second day of Pesach comes, the chadash grain is going to come yashan, and all of it is mutter. So there is a principle that davar she'yesh lo matirin is not batel. Now, it appears from the Gemara, however, that applies only to min b'mino, not to min b'she'eno mino. And the question is, why? And this will really, I think, explain maybe better than it's related, but what I was just explaining. So I have to take a step back now. So let me give you an example for that first. I gave you the example of chadash, right? One kernel of wheat gets mixed, of chadash gets mixed into a big pile of yashan wheat. Wait till the second day of Pesach, it's a few days away, and you'll be able to consume all of it. Or a more classic example in the Gemara is a beitza shenol da b'yom tov. You have a chicken lays an egg on yom tov, and there's an issur d'rabbanan consuming that egg. If that egg gets mixed into 60 other eggs, we say, you don't even 60, really, two should have been enough for this bittul. Nonetheless, we say that since it's a davar she'yesh lo matirin, wait till after yom tov to consume the egg, and it won't be a problem of beitza shenol da b'yom tov anymore. It's only an issur on yom tov. Therefore, davar she'yesh lo matirin is not batel. Now, in theory,
you have to wait.
You have to wait. Right? Yeah. Whenever a chicken lays egg on yom tov, you can't eat yom tov. Of course, you can eat after yom tov. It's a muksa nola type issue. Once yom tov's over, the issur is gone. So let's say, however, the egg got mixed into something, it got scrambled and mixed into something else. I'm oversimplifying here, but permit me for doing this. Nobody's like me to call, none of you is likely to call me on this one, but there's Gemara at the Beitza that says otherwise, but the main sugi here is the beginning of Beitza. So if that egg got mixed into something else, it got mashed up and got mixed into some other food, so we would say that the egg would be batel, even on Yom Tov, in principle, because it davar she'yesh lo matirin of min b'she'eno mino, two different kinds. So now the question is, why is there a distinction between the two? So this Ron was prompted by a very difficult passage in the Rif, which comes up all the time in Shailas that I get. Someone, you're not allowed to eat fleishik bread and milchik bread, you're not allowed to eat. But what happens if you bake bread in an oven when there was meat in the oven? Or you baked, bread in the oven where there was something milchik in the oven? So the bread is definitely permissible in consumption. The question is, are you allowed to consume, let's say, the bread that you baked in an oven that was meat at the same time, are you allowed to consume that with milk or not? Now, I'm working with an assumption here, which the Shulchan Aruch does assume. I know this is radical, and you're not allowed to do this l'chatchila, but if you bake meat and milk in the oven at the same time, you're permitted to consume either of them, both of them. Not at the same time, obviously. Still can't eat them together, but nonetheless, cooking something in the same oven after the fact does not render either one usher. If you cook kosher meat and treif meat in the same oven, we paskin, certainly in our ovens, a certain size, and they're vented also, you can eat the kosher meat. You're not allowed to cook l'chatchil that way, but b'di'evet, if you did, you're allowed to consume that, because we say reicha lav milsa. At least b'di'evet, reach doesn't count.
But there's a distinction between if it's liquid or not liquid.
No. B'di'evet, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, doesn't make a difference. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. We're about to, not today, but Daf Salmach Vav Amud Beis is one of the two major Gemaras that deal with the question of reach, but allow for the moment that if your oven is big enough, they're both solid, it might be that most Rishonim hold it's mutal l'chatchila to cook them together. Maybe. Let's just say it's complicated, but bottom line is b'di'evad. B'di'evad, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if your oven is of a certain size, maybe even if it's not, that it is you're certainly permitted to consume the food. The question is, what if you cook the bread with meat? So you're allowed to consume the bread. The question is, can you eat the bread with milk? So the Rif claims that no, you're not allowed to consume with milchik, because he says it's a davar sheish lamatir. And a davar sheish lamatir is not batel. Now, there are two serious problems with the Rif's claim. Problem number one, which is not our issue for now, is that it's not a davar sheish lamatir. Because you want to eat bread with your milk. You don't have other bread. Let me say that way. The davar sheish lamatir means it's usser right now, it will become mutter later. Is this bread permitted now? The answer is yes. It's permitted to eat alone. It's also to eat with milk. Later, what will be the din? Same thing. So how is that a davar sheish lamatir? But let's put that question aside. I can fetch an answer to that question. It means there's a way of using it beheter as opposed to using it bizer. Fine. But here's the more fundamental question. It's min b'she'en omino. It's bread and meat. It's not bread and bread. It's not an egg and an egg. It's not grain and grain of chadash and yashan. So the Gemara says that davar sheish matirin is only not batel when it's min b'mina. So the Ran, there's a very long, giant Ran, in Meseches Nedarim, the two commentaries, the main commentaries printed are Rashi and the Ran. The Rashi is probably not real Rashi, so anybody who learns Nedarim with the Ran. And Tosfos got relegated to the margins of the page. So there's a very long Ran, I believe it's on Daf Nun Beis in Meseches Nedarim, where the Ran is grappling with this Rif, and the Ran provides the following introduction to Bittel. There is a machlokes. The way the Gemara explains a machlokes tanaim, we've encountered this some while back, and we're going to encounter certainly a very explicit machlokes amoraim, whether or not min b'mino ever has Bittel. I told you that we paskin, min b'mino is batel b'shishim. Midoraisa berov, midrabanan you require 60, but there's a shita in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, who say, min b'mino, probably min ha-Torah, is never batel. And that's attributed to Rabbi Yehuda the Tana as well. So what's the machlokes between the two camps, whether min b'mino has bittel or doesn't have bittel? So the Ran explains the following. He says that the concept of bittel is that you have two substances in which there's a conflict, there's a war, there's a battle between the two of them, and one of them ends up losing, and one of them is winning, and the winner is the one who defines what the substance is. So the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether min b'mino ever has bittel or not, is the following. What happens when you have two substances where, metaphysically speaking, they're different? One of them is iser, and one of them is heter. But physically, they are the same substance, right? They look the same, they taste the same, they are the same substance. So Rabbi Yehuda believes that since physically they are identical, there's not enough of a clash or a conflict to trigger bittel. In other words, both substances coexist together, which is what I was suggesting to you before. However, the Chachamim believe that no, even though physically these two substances are identical, since metaphysically they're different, one is Isser and one of them is Heter, therefore we say that the Isser and the Heter is enough of a conflict that one of them has to win and define what the substance is, and therefore when therefore you can have bittul of min b'mino by regular Isser v'Heter. But, says the Ran, when you're talking about a davar sheyesh l'matirin that falls into Heter, so what are we talking about now? We're talking about one substance that is mutter, metaphysically, and the other one which is sort of in between. It's not quite usser. Right? The contrast is not so stark. So the Ran says that if physically the substances are different, one it's mimbishen omino, your apples and oranges, so then even though metaphysically speaking they're almost identical, but since physically they're very clearly different, so bittul works. But once you're dealing with substances that are physically identical, and then metaphysically speaking, the two substances are almost the same thing. One is heter and one is almost heter. That's not enough of a conflict to trigger the principle bittul, and both substances coexist, right? The idea of bittul is that one overwhelms the other, makes it disappear, it doesn't exist anymore. Here, there's not enough of a battle to trigger the principle bittul. What the Ran goes on, that answers your question, right? That's the difference between mimimino and mimishen omino. Here it's midrabanan, but why they're more machmir by one than the other? The question, how does that explain the riff? How does it explain the riff shita? So what the Ran wants to say, it's still a little bit kvetch, is that the riff shita is dealing with a case where the gap metaphysically is even smaller, right? Davar sheyesh lo matirin is something that is also to consume now, but will become mutter. But what the riff is talking about, the bread that you baked in the oven, which might be fleshy now because it was baked with meat in the oven, so it's mutter to consume right now. So it's not even, it's really almost, it's mamish, it's kimat mamish heter veheter, despite the physical difference. If you're dealing with two things, heter veheter, the heter is not batel. That is what the Ran suggests to explain the riff. The riff is a very, very difficult shita. We happen to paskin like the riff in Simon Sadi Zayin, the last Simon Hilchos Basar B'Challah. Sorry. But anyway, the riff was, for the riff to have said that and for us to be prohibited in eating such bread with milk, it's worth it to have that isser just to have this Gewaldiger Ran, this unbelievable Ran. It's one of the most famous and important Rans in Yeridan, Hilchos Isser V'Heter. So that's the answer, I think, to your question, which is the reason to be machmir in theory by Mimbish Ein Omino is because since the two substances are physically the same, there's really almost no conflict between them, and therefore it may be harder for Bittul to operate. Okay. So, with that introduction, and we're going to revisit this Ran. I'm sure it's going to come up at one point or another. So the Gemara says, starting on the top of Samach Vav Amar Aleph, Chemra Atika Be'inve Divrei HaKol B'no Saint Tam. We have three substances we're dealing with here. Chemra Atika means old wine, Yayin Yashan, which means it's fermented. Then we have Inve, are grapes. And then we have chamra chadita, which means new wine, and new wine tastes like grapes because it hasn't fermented yet. So the grape chamra chadita we would call grape juice. Chamra atika is fermented wine, and inve is grapes. Now, what these three things share in common with one another, and what do they not? Well, chamra chadita and chamra atika are both called wine, but they don't taste the same. Chamra chadita. Chaditi, chestalet tuf is chestalet shin, chadash. Chamra chaditi and grapes don't have the same name, but they have the same taste. So the question is, how do you define a mixture of these substances? So the Gemara starts out by saying the following. Chamra atika b'inve divrei hakol b'no sein tam. You haven't been introduced yet, but you will in the next line to Abayin Rava. Abayin Rava agree that if you have fermented wine that falls into grapes, the shir for bittul is no sein tam. It's no same time. Why? Because they have a different shame. One is called grapes, one is called wine, and they have a different flavor. And therefore, it's called mimbishen omino without a doubt. Sam?
So that means we don't count the texture of what you're eating. The grape, the texture of, when you say something tastes the same, grape juice and grapes do not taste the same. Grapes have a solid part to them and a liquid part to them. That could all go into defining taste.
Just one second. You're correct, Sam, except... Sam, you're right in principle, but think about this case. You have grapes that are heter. Wine falls into them. The question is, will you be able to taste the wine? If it's grape juice that fell in, the answer is no, because what's going to happen to the grape juice? It's going to get absorbed within the grape. It will taste like the rest of the grape juice that's absorbed within the grape. Whereas if the wine falls in, you might be able to taste it. So you're right.
So it's the other way around. Let's say you had, grapes of a Bodazara that fell into a grape juice. Grapes of a Bodazara that...
Well, that would be easy, Sam. That's not a taroves. Because if you can reach in and pull the grapes out, as a general rule, whenever you have a mixture of taroves, it means that it's not separable. It's a din the Rama quotes, I think, again, in the first siman of Hilchos Taruvos, where the Rama says, if you had, let's say, fat of Isser that got mixed into your pot, even if you have bittul, you're supposed to wait for it to cool so you can skim the fat off. Why? Because if it's possible to separate, you're supposed to separate. Now, that's a more complicated case. But if I have a mixture where I can, if my grapes of Avodah Zarah fall into this wine, there's no shaila that I have to skim the grapes out. Now I can talk about what's the status of the wine. So in that sense, when the texture allows you to separate the two, it's not a mixture anymore. But in our case, the flavor of the wine or the grape juice of Isser is now going to get into the grapes, and that's the issue we have to deal with. The texture will not play a role here. You're right in principle, but here it doesn't apply. So everybody agrees that fermented wine and grapes, that the shear is no Saint Tom. If you can taste the fermented wine, you can't eat the grapes. If you can't, you can. However, chamra chadita beinve, if you have grape juice, okay, actually, if you have new wine and grapes, abaye omar b'mashahu, v'rava omar b'no Saint Tom. So we're dealing with two substances which have a different shame but the same flavor. Abaye says you treat it b'mashahu, as the Gemara will explain in literally the next line, because you follow Tam. And Rava says you follow the shear of no Saint Tam, of Shishim, because they have a different shame. Abaye Amar B'mashahu Basar Taima Azlinan, Idi V'Idi Chad Taimahu. Grape juice and grapes, when the grape juice gets absorbed in the grapes, it has the same flavor. V'Hava Le Min B'Mino, it's treated as if it's Min B'Mino, or Min B'Mino B'Mashahu. Abaye says that the min b'mino is oser b'mashu. Now, what is Abaye's general position? Remember, we're talking about yayin nesach here. So everybody agrees, even though we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that by most isurim in the Torah, min b'mino, min b'sheino mino is batal b'shishim, both of them, against Rav and Shmuel, but by yayin nesach and tevel, everybody agrees it's oser b'mashu. So Abaye's position here is not this positive in terms of, does he hold like Rav and Shmuel? Does he hold like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? It doesn't matter. Everybody would agree Yayin Nesach B'Yayin is Oser B'Mashah. So Abaye says that Yayin Nesach, which is grape juice flavor, that falls into grapes, the same flavor, Abaye says it's Oser B'Mashahu because it has the same time. And that's called Mimimino, a Mimimino of at least Yayin Nesach B'Mashahu. Rava Amar B'No Saint Tam. Rava says no, that new wine, I mean grape juice, that falls into grapes because one is called wine, and one of them is called juice, if you want it, and one of them is called grapes. Even though they have the same flavor, Rava says, "Beno Saint Tam Basar Shema Azlinan." We follow what it's labeled as. V'hai Shmalachod, each has its own name. V'havale Mimbisheino Mino, Umimbisheino Mino, Beno Saint Tam. That's what the Gemara presents this machlokas. So again, I want to emphasize, this whole machlokas is only shayach once you already have shishim. You already have 60 heter keneged the isser, so you certainly, it doesn't matter whether it's the same flavor, different flavor, you can't taste it. Now the question is, does the chumrah of being oser b'mashahu of yayin nesach, does that apply, does that follow, that mimimino follow shame, or does it follow ta'am? Okay. Now the Gemara tries to bring a proof. Tanan, yayin nesach shenafal agabe anavim. You know where this mission is? Samech Hamid Beis. That's our Mishnah. All right? Tanan. Yayin Nesach Shenafal Agabe Anavim. The Mishnah said, if wine falls on grapes, Yadichem. Let's just read our Mishnah again. The Gemara is abridges, v'chulei. So let's go back to the Mishnah a second. Yayin Nesach Shenafal Agabe Anavim. Yadichem Vehemutaros. This is a case where the grapes are whole and they're on their stems, so there's no place for the wine to get absorbed. You're not cooking it or anything. Therefore, you just rinse the grapes off, no problem. Why is it not a problem? The answer is, it's only a problem when there's a taroves. There's no mixture here. In the same way that you're not allowed, you wouldn't say, let's say you had 60, more than 60 times grapes, kenega the wine, we wouldn't say that you're allowed to take a grape and now, suck off the juice on the outside because it's not a mixture. You know that's wine, that's yayin nesach. So in this case, the Mishnah says it's mutter. However, hoyu mivuka'o, says the Mishnah, if the grapes were split so the wine can actually get absorbed, asuros. Now the Mishnah, unfortunately, does not provide us with a crucial piece of information, which is, what is asuros mean? In other words, always, or only if you have nisin astam, right? Only if you have more than 1/60. The Mishnah doesn't say. Now, let's read on in the Mishnah. Skip the line about the figs and the dates, because we pointed out a few weeks ago that's not in the Mishnah, it would appear. And now we go to a story. So skip the next line, and then umaisib abaitis bensunim, shehevi grogros bisfina, vinishtabra chavashayai nesach. He was bringing dried figs in the boat, and yai nesach, a barrel breaks and falls on them, v'nafal agabeim, v'shalach hachamim v'hitirim. He came and asked the shayla, and it was permitted. Now, the Gemara thought that was very strange, because the last thing you said is that hayu mevukaos asuros. Now you turn around and say, oh, but the story, they fell on the equivalent of mevukaos, the dried figs, which will absorb in the fissures, and it's mutter. So what's going on here? Now, of course, there were a couple of options available before we read even further in the Mishnah. We could have just said, the first case in the Mishnah is when there are a few possibilities. Possibility one is the first case in the Mishnah is talking about mimimino, and it's oser b'mashahu, automatically oser, whereas by grapes and wine, whereas here, we're talking about wine and figs, which is mimbishen amino, and maybe it was a case where you weren't able to taste the wine. Another possibility would be to say that no, that but everybody agrees that there's bittul here, benosein tam, if you have 60. But in the case of the grapes, the Mishnah was referring to a case where you didn't have shishim in the grapes, whereas here, by the figs, there happened to have been shishim 60 times in the figs. Of course, how would you see that in the Mishnah? God only knows. But now the Gemara gives, the Mishnah gives a rule. Zehaklal. Kol shebahana asa benosein tam osar, kol shebahana asa benosein tam mutar. Anytime the iser damages the flavor. Any time it gives flavor in a positive way into the heter food, you're not allowed to consume it. But any time there's no hana, any time it has a damaging effect on the food that it falls into, then you're allowed to consume it. That's the principle of no sein tam lefka. Correct. So now the question is, what's clear is that the yayin shenafal agabei tehenim, that the chachamim permitted, is a case that the shear is benosein tam. About that there is no doubt, because it's wine falling into figs. Now, why did the Chachamim permit the figs? There are two possibilities. One is that you couldn't taste the wine, there wasn't enough of it. Or possibility two, based upon the last line in the Mishnah, is that wine in the dried figs is damaging to the flavor. One of those two. But either way, and as the criteria in the second part of the Mishnah is benosein tam. And when we say no sein tam, it means no sein tam l'shvach. It has to give flavor, and that flavor has to be beneficial. If either of those two things are lacking, if it's detrimental, or you don't have the taste, then it's mutter. So the question is, how does that play over to the first part of the Mishnah? What's the case in the first part of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says the following, trying to prove, to ask a question against Rava. The Gemara says, Tanan. Yayin esech, I shouldn't say, I don't remember against whom it is. Tanan, yayin esech, shenafal agabe anavim. Back in the Gemara on Samach Vavam and Aleph. Okay, right where we left off on the eighth line. Kosal gadaitach, chamra chadita beinve. The assumption is that in the Mishnah, we are talking about new wine. Now, there's no indication in the Mishnah that the yayin esech, whether it's new or old wine. But we're talking about new wine that fell into grapes. Number one. My love, is it not benosein tam? And the shear is benosein tam. Now, why does the Gemara assume that? Well, we'll see in a second, because the second half of the Mishnah is talking about nisin astam. But in order to ask this question against Rava, it'd be different shemos, against Abaye. And you have to make two assumptions. Number one, that you're dealing with new wine. And number two, that the shear that's also here is benosein tam. And you see that new wine in grapes, which is the same flavor but different shemos, is treated as limbishen omino. So you see that aslino basar shma. We follow the shame to determine what is the same species, not the flavor. So the Gemara answers, lo, b'mashehu. Now, I would have answered just said, maybe it's talking about chamra atika. It's talking about old wine. End of discussion. Everybody agrees old wine and grapes is benosein tam. Everybody agrees that's called the Mishen Amino because it's a different name and different taste. But Abaye, the Gemara instead responds to Abaye, says, Lo b'mashahu. So the Gemara says, Ah, b'hame the tani seifa, zeha klal, kol she'ein, kol shebana oso, b'no sein tam oso, kol she'ein bana oso, b'no sein tam mutar, mechlal, b'no sein tam askinan. So the Gemara says, Abaye, masnis and mechamra atika b'inve. All right, so now Abaye will give you another answer. Say, it's dealing with old wine, and everybody agrees, and that's the end of the discussion. Okay, so that's where the Gemara basically leaves this. They're going to talk about some other cases. We're going to deal with it. But the bottom line is the Machlokas Abaye and Rava is whether or not Azlina Basar Shma, Azlina Basar Taima for the determination of what is considered a Mimbamina. Once you already have the flavors gone, you already have Shishim, but for the extra stringencies of things that are Oser B'meya, B'Nosayim, B'Kolshehu, how do we define Mimbamina or Mimbashen Omino? This is not a question, by the way, that comes up terribly frequently in practical halacha. I don't think I've ever encountered. You don't typically encounter Orla or Kilaya Karen or Truma today. Truma, you don't encounter, doesn't exist today. And Orla is pretty rare to encounter, as Kilaya Karen. So that leaves only Tevel, which if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, for sure is not an issue, because there's no Trumas HaMaisus and Chutz La'aretz. And then Yayin Nesach, which Rabbeinu Tam holds, and even if not that this happens on a typical basis, Rabbeinu Tam holds that Stam Yenam is Batal B'Shishim. Rabbeinu Tam, it's a big machlokas HaRishon, but Rabbeinu Tam, we've seen Rabbeinu Tam already, Rabbeinu Tam says that the Chumra of Yayin Nesach Osa B'Masho is only literally with Yayin Nesach, it doesn't apply to Stam Yenam, and since pretty much any wine that we would ever encounter in this country is going to be Stam Yenam. Maybe if you go into the church after the ceremony, the wine they use for the Eucharist or whatever, it might be Yayin Nesach, but that's as close as you're going to get. But anything else, you never, any question of non-kosher wine that you might have accidentally used, it's all going to be Stam Yenam. And therefore, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam at least, and I suspect Bnei Ashkenaz do, so then you are never going to encounter Isurim of Mashahu of this nature where you have to decide Basar Taima or Basar Shema. But, in theory, if we did encounter such a thing, we presumably would paskin like Rava, that basar shma aslinam, because whenever Abaye and Rava have an argument, we always paskin like Rava, except for in six cases, the mnemonic of yal kigam, whatever they are, and this is not one of them, and therefore, aslinam basar shma.
What would Rashi's opinion be different than Rabbeinu Tam's?
I don't know if Rashi says explicitly, but the Ridvino says, I'm sure other Rishonim would say that Stam Yenam is the same din as Yayin Nesach. There's no difference. It's Oser B'Masha. I mean, Ashkenazim are also effectively, B'Shas HaTach permits Stam Yenam B'Hana. So, because there are Ov Deva D'Zara, not really Ov Deva D'Zara, and so on. So we have some, as B'nai Ashkenazim, we have some excessive kulas when it comes to Stam Yenam. Okay, most of us today don't take advantage of it anymore, but it was the economic lifeblood for Jews in the Middle Ages, in Ashkenaz certainly. In Svarad, in Muslim lands, it wasn't a problem because the yayin of Muslims is only Aser B'Shtiyah, not Aser B'Hana, so it was easy for them to be Machmer on Stam Yenam because they didn't have to deal with Stam Yenam of Hana. Okay. Now, I'd like to dip our feet a little bit into a Tosfos, the top Tosfos. It raises a very, very interesting question. And this does potentially come up at least once a year. There is one Isser that we encounter, by the way, that is Oser B'Mashahu. You know what that Isser is?
Chametz.
Chametz on Pesach. The convenient, I put that in quotes, feature of our Chumra of Chametz on Pesach is that we do not discriminate between Mimbamino and Mimbashen Amino. It's very odd. The only Isser in the Torah, and again, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, the only Isser where we're Machmir on a Mashahu, where you have any of these Chumras beyond Nesinas Tam, even by Mimbashen Amino, is Chametz B'Pesach. You can't see it anymore. You can't taste it anymore. It's gone. Right? When the chametz gets mixed in and it's batel b'shishim, said you can't see it, you can't. No, it's not. It's avar batel min ha'olam. Nobody said, I think it's the chumrah of chametz, because people don't separate from year round and so on. So there's a whole machlokas where the chametz and Pesach is batel. There is the position of Rabbeinu Tam and the Shiltas Rabbi Chaigon who held that chametz b'Pesach is batel b'shishim. Unfortunately, much to my chagrin, we don't hold that way. We end up holding that chametz b'pesach, and that would make life very, very different. Chametz b'pesach is aser b'hana'a. A chametz b'pesach is aser b'mashehu, and beim min b'mino, beim min b'sheino mino, so we don't have to figure out whether basar shema is lina, basar taima is lina, it's all the same. But here's the question that is an interesting, very important question Tosis raises here, and you'll see how it eventually comes back to touch a little bit on the Pesach question. What is the din of no sein tam lefgam by an iser mashehu? In other words, when we say that if you have yayin nesach that falls into any amount, a drop of yayin nesach that falls into a huge vat of yayin, we say it's all aser. But what if that yayin were damaging in flavor? What if it were no sein tam lefgam? Would we say that by isurim that are oser b'mashehu, that even no sein tam lefgam is aser? Now, you'll ask the question, I'm not going to expect you to ask me the question, why would I even raise the issue? I would raise the issue because Tosas raised it, but you have to ask the question, why would anybody here raise this issue? What would be the stimulus for raising this issue? And the answer is, if you think about the Mishnah that we just read and the way the Gemara presents it, right? The Gemara understands that the entire Mishnah is talking about Nesin Estam. And it talks about Yayin, which falls into Yayin, let's say Yashan, that falls into grapes. And the Mishnah says Asuros, if they're split, if they're no Sein Tam. And then the Mishnah gives a klal, that if it's no Sein Tam L'Shvach, it's Aser, if it gives a positive flavor. If it's no Sein Tam L'Fgam, it's Mutter. So the question is, the Mishnah only spoke about that in the context of things whose Iser is B'no Sein Tam, right? Yayin Yashan in grapes. But does the Mishnah in any way, it's not such a powerful implication, but can one infer from the Mishnah, in fact, that when it comes to things that are Oser B'mashehu, that not only they're Oser B'mashehu, but even no Sein Tam Lefgam. So the Top Tosfos says the following, Mechlal Dereisha B'no Sein Tam Askinan. That was the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, infers, and accepts the inference that the first part of the Mishnah must also be talking about things that are only Oser B'no Sein Tam, hence Abayi was forced to say old wine and grapes. Yesha Hayu Mefarshim, Dechol Isur Dahave B'mashehu, Lo Aminam B'no Sein Tam Lefgam is Mutter. Tosa says there are those who say, who want to explain, that any Isur Mashehu, no Sein Tam Lefgam is Aser as well. Daha Ein Lecha Tam Batel Yoser Mimashehu Be'elef. You can't have greater bittul than when you have an enormous amount of heter to overwhelm the Iser. Hu Hadin, no Sein Tam Lefgam. Right? The svara being is that if the whole purpose of bittul is to be Mevatel the Tam, then we understand why no Sein Tam Lefgam is mutter, because the Tam is in effect Bata. But if no amount serves to be Mevatel, then it's not about Bittul HaTam, because if that were the only concern, Shishim would have been sufficient. But the fact that we don't allow any Bittul shows you that the concern is not about Tam, but merely about the fact that the Isser somehow still exists, even though it fell into a large mixture. So that's why no Sein Tam Lefgam also shouldn't help you. Umefaresh Khan, they explain here, Mechlal, the B'no Sein Tam Askinan, they want to explain the Gemara's inference on the Mishnah that says that you can infer from the Seifa, from the No Sein Tam Lefgam discussion, that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about No Sein Tam. The Lekach Mutter B'she'ein B'Hanasam B'no Sein Tam. The reason why it's Mutter in the beginning part of the Mishnah, when there's no Hana'ah from it, is because it's an Isser of No Sein Tam. The Ibn Mashehu, if it were an Isser Mashehu, Ha'afilu Lefgam Aser. That's what those who wanted to infer. It's not a very good inference, as Tosfos is about to say. Tosfos says, Ve'ein raya mikan, the lodiye kocha, the Gemara's inference is not based upon that. Ela mi demaflig b'seifa b'hachi, the fact that they're arguing in the second part of the Mishnah about a particular issue, mechal d'reisha b'no Sein Tam, the b'hachi ari mas nisan. It's not that the din of the Mishnah could only apply under these circumstances. It's just that that's what they happen to be dealing with in the Seifa. That's why the Gemara makes the inference. It's not that the Reisha in principle couldn't have constructed a similar case by in Isser Mashehu, that no Sein Tam Lefgam would have worked there as well. The Ode, Tosa says, "Dibimashu mimbemino, ein hatam batel klal afil be'elef, kevan shahatam shoveh." Sam, this is what I said to you before. The reason, by whatever reason we choose to be machmir, the reason why there's no bitul b'mashu by min b'mino is because you can't be mevatel tam. It all has the same tam shoveh. It's all the same tam. Aval lifgam, if they're talking about two things, if you're talking about something that's no same tam lifgam, hatam is batel. In other words, once something is no same tam lifgam, it means it's not the exact same flavor anymore. Therefore, Tosus says, "Uvechametz bePesach." Ah, what about chametz and Pesach? Was it osa b'mashahu? So, what about nosa in tam ufgam? Now, if you think about what a huge, huge kula this would be, if you're not makbid on nosa in tam ufgam on Pesach, you wouldn't need to kasher your counters on Pesach. Because why would you kosher your counters? On the assumption that maybe hot food fell on your counters, got absorbed. Now you're putting hot food on it, on Pesach falls on it, and you eat it. So let me ask you a question. How much time elapsed since the hot comet stick of food fell on your counters? Days. So it's no same time of gum. And even though no same time of gum is also l'chatchila, what that means, let me correct that. No same time of gum, you're not allowed to cook in a treif pot after 24 hours. Midrabanan, because you might come to cook within 24 hours. So that's the isur l'chatchila. But no same time of gum, once it's fallen in, is absolutely mutter. So nobody l'chatchila puts the hot food spills the hot food on the counter. So therefore, that's not called l'chatchila. So if on Pesach it happened to fall in, if you're not concerned about no same time of gum, then it wouldn't be a problem. So Tosus says now, "Ubechametz bePesach lisfarim deGarsi b'mashu karav." This is the machlokas I alluded to earlier. Rabbi Tam and the Shiltas have a different girsa in the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Lamed, and they hold that chametz bePesach is batel b'shishim. It's benos in Tam, but there are svarim that have b'mashu karav. So Tosus, and that's the way we have, that's the way we paskin, that chametz bePesach has osa b'mashahu. So Tosus, according to the sheet that chametz bePesach has osa b'mashahu, afal gav d'shelo b'mino osa b'mashahu, afal pisha tam batel. So Tosus says, but I realize you have a problem now. What was Tosus' logic for arguing that no saint tam of gam is mutter by an iser mashahu? Because Tosus wanted to say that no same tam of gam by iser mashahu is a fact, a different flavor. And the flavor is batel. Whereas when it's just a regular case of iser mashahu, the flavor is not batel. It all tastes the same. But on chametz bePesach, what kind of iser mashahu is osir? Not only min b'mino, which tastes the same, the tam is shaveh, everything is osir b'mashahu, even different flavors. So you see that even though the tam is batel, we're still osir mashahu of that on chametz bePesach. And if that's the case, the same thing should hold true by no same tam of gam. Just as the min b'she'en omina, where it's different flavors, on Pesach, even though the tam is batel, it's still osir. So by no same tam of gam, you should say the same thing, that even though the tam is batel on Pesach, nonetheless, it should still be osir. So Tosus has boxed himself into a corner. She says, "Mikom akom ein lesser tam lefgam, shelo yehe tofel chamor min ha'ikar." Now, he says it doesn't make sense to say that no same tam of gam should be osir, because the secondary issue should not be chamor min ha'ikar. The shelo b'mino eino osir ella atumino. The only reason why what goes there on she'eino mino on Pesach is exera atumin b'mino. But that's what the Gemara says explicitly. But we're so machmir b'chametz b'Pesach, even though normally we only say that things are osir b'mashahu when it's min b'mino, by chametz we're machmir on eino mino atumino. But let me ask you a question. What should the din be, really, by min b'mino on Pesach, when it becomes no saint tam lefgam? What should the din have been there? It should be mutter, because the tam is not shaveh anymore. So now, what goes there on min b'she'en omino, atumino, in general, having nothing to do with saint tam of gam, to say that now we're going to turn around and be machmir on no saint tam of gam because of min b'she'en omino, that doesn't make sense. That's just too much, says Tosos. Elavadai in chiluk dechol no saint tam of gam is mutter. Any no saint tam of gam is mutter by iser mashu, and Tosos would say that on Pesach, because it's effectively a different tam, no same tam of gam, and the tam is batel. What's that? Right. So unfortunately, you know, that we do kasher the counters. We do so because the Ramah, the truth is the Ramah, we paskin that chametz is osir b'mashu, and then the Mechaber, I believe, paskins no Saint Talmud Chacham is mutter by chametz. But the Ramah says that there are those who say that no, even, that we machmer even by isir mashu and no Saint Talmud Chacham, and then I forget what he says, that there's no minog what you do, but today it seems to practice in Ashkenaz. They shouldn't have to. I don't know what they do. You know, people get a little crazy about chametz for Pesach. If they only makbid on their dinei mamadus, they weren't chametz for Pesach, it would be a lot better world. Yes, but so I don't know. But Sfardim, they shouldn't have to kasher the counters. I'm almost certain the Mechaber Pasuk no Saint Talmud Chacham is mutter, and unless the Mechaber quotes both Deos and then the Ramah makes some comment minhag. I don't remember, so I don't know for sure. But probably Mikra, then really there should be no Saint Talmud Chacham. But we are very mach, exceedingly mach mer chametz for Pesach. Marshall. Question.
Why is this kashrus question? Why isn't it sort of a derived on the Matzah question? You just have a different level of application, extrication.
So Ba'i Rabbi Matzah has to, the prohibitions mean something that is fundamentally extant. Bittul means it's not extant anymore. There is a discussion, there's a major discussion, this is not our topic, but there's a Perek in Pesachim, it's called Elu Ovrim BaPesach. And the Mishnah lists a series of things, and there are like at least three different sheetahs of Rishonim what that means. Some Rishonim say you're Ovrim Ba'i Rabbi Matzah, like on Chametz Nuksha, and Chametz Dagon B'Taroves, and others say no, that Ovrim, some say Ovrim, it's Chametz in a half fermented, half leavened, where it won't reach a full stage. But some say, but both Chametz Nuksha and Chametz Dagon Gamor B'Taroves, in a mixture. So there's a whole discussion there. I think it's whether or not Ba'i Rabbi Matzah is even Shayach when it's B'Taroves. But I think we assume, certainly if it's Batel, we don't say that, but it's still Ba'i Rabbi Matzah. That nobody would say. Ba'i Rabbi Matzah is not a magical concept. Yet one could even argue that Ba'i Rabbi Matzah only applies when it's sitting literally at the end. You're sitting in front of your own thing. Not, it's already mixed into something else, even if you could taste it. So, anyway, that's the story. That's the unfortunate story of Chametz B'Pesach. If only no Saint Tom of Gam were Mutter. Okay. You read this, there's this guide somebody put out in Eretz Yisrael. Some prominent person, you know, trying to, I think, somewhat patronizingly explain to the Jewish women why they shouldn't be so machmer in Pesach and how to do Pesach really easily. And then I read the guide and I realize that the number of chumers here is ridiculous. You know, even things that aren't in the Shulchan Aruch. So, Pesach is one of those places where your sense of Isser Veheta, you just have to recalibrate your scales because it's like off the charts. So, you know, they say the patronizing line is, you know, ladies, dust is not chametz and your husband's not the carbon Pesach. But the rabbi should look in the mirror and say, if you hadn't adopted so many crazy positions, so then nobody would be crazy about that stuff. But okay. So anyway, yes.
The definition of chametz itself. What is this? Is I know that there's some of our shim that say chametz is yeast.
No, sa'or is yeast. Sa'or is sourdough. I mean, be careful. Yeast Fleischmann's, if you would like to keep your Fleischmann's yeast, you know, whatever it's, what do you call it, bacterial fungal, whatever it is, if you want to keep that in your refrigerator in Pesach, it's perfectly mutter. It's not chametz or sa'or. Sa'or is sourdough. It's got to be in the bread to be chametz or sa'or.
But I have to, because Rabbi Amnon Haramaki told me that chametz is yeast and mashu would start fermenting anyway.
That is sa'or and that's sourdough. Sourdough on its own, once you have it, will go and go and go. But chametz refers to the bread that has simply been made, that is at a point that it's leavened, but it's not, it is not sour, or sourdough, chametz is bread. Okay. Let's take on sort of one more line in the Gemara, and then we'll leave the part of the discussion until next week. The Gemara says the following. Chala de chamra, v'chala de shichra. Chala means vinegar. So vinegar made from wine and vinegar made from beer. I didn't know they make vinegar from beer, but I suppose why not? V'chamira de chite. The chametz of wheat, and this might be sourdough here actually, the chamira, the sare, of barley. Abai Omar benosein tam, basar taima aslinan, and they have different flavors. Whereas v'hai taima l'chud, v'hai taima l'chud, wheat sourdough tastes different. Wine vinegar, beer vinegar tastes different. V'havein aimim b'shein omino, aimim b'shein aimim benosein tam, and Rava Omar b'mashahu, basar shema aslinan. They have the same shame, vinegar, sourdough, and therefore v'hava le'min b'mino, v'chomin b'mino b'masha. That's what the Gemara says. So this would be applicable theoretically in all sorts of areas. That you would, Rava would say that you always, to determine whether something is called an iser mashu versus b'no sein tam, Rava says you always look at the shame, and Abaye says you look at the tam. Okay. All right, and so next week we'll pick up with Abaye's attempted raya, and then we're eventually going to get into the discussion of the status of reach and cooking in ovens and cooking milk and meat in ovens and so on.